last of all and servant of all. Then he took a little child and he put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
There's a song from Latin America that speaks of this kingdom of this upside down kingdom of God that Jesus talked about. When a poor one. Well, an awfully long time ago now that I think about it, I had a summer job that put me through university. It was a job with the Canada Wildlife Service. It was, when I think about it now, it was kind of an idyllic job. I got to spend the summer with a few friends, hiking and canoeing around the South Okanagan, keeping track of the bird life in the South Okanagan. Every day, 5 days a week, except I got a couple of days off. Why would I need that? It was an incredible job. And I got into it. That was the beginning of my, what is now a lifelong love of bird watching. But I also got in touch at that time with kind of biology in the raw. Because if you watch birds, if you watch wildlife, you get to see biology in the raw. I will never forget. It's an image that's stuck in my mind, unfortunately. I have tried to wipe it out. But have you ever seen mallard ducks in the spring? Yes. Oh, I hear from there. Yeah, exactly. Especially the male mallards, the drakes. They're outrageous. They make the masculine of any, they beat the masculine of any species when it comes to making absolute fools out of themselves and being in the total grip of their basic biology. Right? They're the worst. They will always be in my mind as the kind of the quintessential. Yep, on Burnaby Lake. Yep, mallards are pretty extreme on this one. But you know what? When you think about it, it's not just mallards. They're not the only species on this one. We can make ourselves look like fools in the grip of our own biology pretty easily. Any of us can. In fact, advertisers appeal to that very tendency to foolishness within humans all the time. When Dodge Motor Company went to create a name a long time ago for when they were a new line of trucks for the manly men of the world, what did they come up with? Yeah, with these big horns right on the front of every truck, right? Ford, not to be outdone, decided to go with numbers. The F-150. The F-250, if you're really manly. The F-350 with dual wheels and a king cab. That's like the pinnacle. Can you imagine them choosing an F 220 Queen Cab? I don't think so. Why? Because they know their market and they're appealing to that brainstem biology that's going on in so many of us. Well, so what do ducks and trucks have to do with the gospel? Well, when they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, Jesus asked, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent. For on the way, they had been arguing with one another about who was to be the greatest. I wonder how really different that argument was from the argument that I witnessed on Vassal Lake among the ducks. Really. And you know, when I read that this week, I could just imagine Jesus' heart sinking. More than any of the Gospels, Mark lays out for us in event after event how the Jesus program, what he's trying to get out there, how at odds it is with the dynamics of the culture that is insidious even among his followers. He was offered power and prestige. They wooed him, but he turned it down. He teaches of a community of the poor and the weak. He shows people in teaching and healing that the power of real life and real love is in our hands no matter who we are. Our faith makes us well. That's what he says. But so many prefer to believe that real life and real love is scarce, in the hands of only a few. And we have to compete for it, vie for it, prove you are the greatest in order to get it. And the original disciples thought Jesus was building a kingdom of kings, and they wanted to be right up there, when in fact, it was a community of peasants. They wanted to be generals and important ministers in this incoming government, not realizing that there were no generals and that everybody is an important minister. You can imagine what it must have been like for Jesus offering this vision and embodying it among the poor and the vulnerable, all the while watching his core of followers strutting around behind him like roosters. You guys, you're letting your biology be the sole determinant of how you function here. We don't need this power dance among us. Take a look at this child who has not learned those ways yet, who is able to laugh and dance and love and give freely. Learn to let that way be your way with each other and with the world. Remember how to be like that. I know it's in you. Also, some years ago, probably around the same time as I was learning stuff about biology from the mallards on Vassal Lake, there was a thing in popular culture, a movement to discover the inner child. Anybody remember this? Just get awaken your inner child, be in touch with your inner child. Sound familiar? Although pop psychology often has more to do with being popular and not a lot to do with psychology, there is often a little glimmer of light, a little nugget of gold in the middle of a lot of what is to be found in popular psychology. Wisdom, a little piece of wisdom worth noticing. And I think in the case of this search for the inner child, there was a conviction that there is within each of us, I'm going to use my language, a soul that is vulnerable and tender and open and free, and whose power is not borrowed by years of training or by the accumulation of reputation or by the accumulation of wealth or power, but whose power is inherent. It's bread in the bone, bread in the soul. Soul power, which is free and beautiful and genuine and disarming and joyously unpredictable. And there is in most of us a dream to get back to that, get back to that original kind of soul place. It's been called a lot of things, but one throughout literature is a kind of a return to Eden. It appears in literature all over the place. A dream in which we are no longer in the grip of either our Drake-like biology or the layers of socialization that teach us that we gotta fight for our own worthiness. But rather, it's a dream in which we are simply worthy and free. And I think Jesus is appealing to that peace within the human soul when he says, when he lifts up a child and he says, as you welcome this one, so you welcome me in the community and in yourself and in the world. Now, that's not easy. It's not easy to shape our lives around that principle and live in the world. It's hard to get the dishes done, for one. And that child actually doesn't give a hoot about my pension plan. You know? There is a complexity to life and real difficulties and dilemmas in life that need attention. And yet what I hear in the words of Jesus to his disciples, and that includes us, don't let that child fall asleep or be put to sleep in you or among you. Don't let that happen. Don't let your biology, don't let a dominating culture take over and crush that one. The trouble is that we live in the real world and dishes need to be done and pensions actually do matter. And we can place innocent childlike values at the center. And we can get eaten alive within this culture. Jesus, though, also said, be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. So there's a dance involved here. And that's the real challenge. How many examples do we have of churches or ministries that are so rooted in a kind of a childlike idealism that they don't survive in this world? They fail to take care of business. The real world business end of life isn't just going to go away. Our Northwood Ministry Board meets this Wednesday, and on the agenda is a real-world financial picture which has made it hard to fund our ministry. A real-world roof problem that is doing pretty well under the tarp, I must say, especially after yesterday. That's not bad so far. As well as the genuine task of being rooted in that word of Jesus. Welcome the child. Be that kind of community. Be that soulful life here. And how do we come as a child, welcome the child, and live in the real world? That's the dance. It's a spiritual conundrum that requires a special kind of, I think, spiritual awareness and attentiveness. So I want to give you a couple of things to try and pique that awareness as you try and live this conundrum in your own lives and as we try to do it as a community. Well, first of all, sometimes life just puts us in the place of that vulnerable one. Sometimes it happens to you. Life can strip us of our accumulated power and make us vulnerable. We lose a job and we realize that we're not quite the breadwinner that we thought we were. become ill and realize that we're not, not only are we not immortal, but we also need people. We're not as independent as we thought we were. A love falls apart and we realize that there's brokenness inside and out. And although these experiences are never welcome and we always resist them, there is something to pay attention to in the middle of them. How we are, they kind of uncover us as souls on this journey, vulnerable ones. And if we can pay attention in those moments, because they are holy moments, we discover something about that, about welcoming the child in our own lives. Pay attention and welcome that one as we find her or him within us. Secondly, for Christian people, it is really, really important that we not underestimate the power of the dominating culture in which we live to squelch this child. Any of them within us. That's what is so incredibly stunning about Malala. Because Malala, there she is, a child right in front of us. And forces in her culture shot her. Like, that's stunning. And yet, we mustn't underestimate the power of capitalism, consumerism, competition that crushes that child often. Here in Surrey and around the world. With at least as slick efficiency as the Taliban. I watch our kids grow up in our consumer-driven culture with its constant barrage of advertising, and I want us to pay attention to the health of all of our souls in this, and ours, the souls of our children and our own souls in the midst of it. Pay attention to the powers within our own culture trying to make us forget about the child or prioritize the child on some balance sheet, as if that's how you could discover their worth. And finally, just be attentive as Christian people, as followers of this one who would say, welcome the child in yourself and among you. Watch what happens with a particular eye open to signs of the presence of the child and the working of that childlike process in your midst, because it will awaken you. I'll never forget. I will always hold it dear in my heart. A time when I was, it was in Salmon Arm, and I was going to a senior's home in Salmon Arm where I did a monthly service. And the seniors would gather in the little chapel. And back then, it was early in my time in Salmon Arm, I had a little guy, Aiden, he was about 3 years old, and he would just come with me, right? So he would come, and a bit of a free spirit, you know? You know, when he got to kindergarten, he kicked up a bit of a fuss. Don't fence me in and socialize me. No, he was a bit of a free spirit. He would come to the little chapel, and everybody would gather with their wheelchairs, and they would gather with their walkers, and they would come in, and they would sit down, and he would come in, and he would, you know, curl up under the communion table, or he would crawl in between the walkers and the wheelchairs, and they were just fine with it. Fine with it. And I'll never forget this one time. We were all in prayer. Bow our heads for prayer. Here I'm offering this prayer. And from under the communion table comes just this little sound. And it kept going, you know, every once in a while. So I kept praying, and he kept ing. And then I got to the end of my prayer, still doing it, and I looked up, and there was this little glimmer in the eye of a few of the people. So I said, how many of you can go like this? And in that moment, this choir of was clicking all over this little chapel of 80 to 100 year old, and Aiden pokes his head up like, whoa, what just happened? Wise ones engaging a wise one. Child in the midst of children. And a life that is a snapshot of the kingdom of God. Your eyes peeled.